Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Daniel, and we're in chapter 7. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles this morning, and if you would, please go to the book of Daniel in chapter 7. This morning, I want to talk to you on the subject of what to expect, or what's next, if you want to say it with an eyebrow raised, because this 2020 nonsense has just been continuing to roll on. When I come to this passage today, I come with a heart that is really feeling the wounds of this hour for a preacher. I get it. Some people say, wah, you can wah, you wah. No, I'm telling you, I've never been beaten up so much from trying to put together messages from week to week as in this time. I want to be pertinent. I want to be sensitive to God. And I got to tell you, Saturdays are a rough time for me. So pray for me on Saturdays because the devil comes against me in a big way. And that's not to say I'm inspired and that this is the perfect pick. I'm just saying I feel it. I feel it. And it's because of this generation we're living in that I feel it all the more. We're living in a time where the world is just changing, the ground is shifting, and I'm nevertheless having to stand behind the pulpit and bring a word that is something that is for the hour rather than going from chapter to chapter. And there's definitely, it's my modus operandi. I don't have to churn it out as much when I go chapter to chapter. And I just have to be sensitive to the Lord because He has something He wants for us to hear. And I believe you're going to appreciate where we're at today because we are really deep down asking the question, what is next? I don't know how you're feeling about this election. But I know that with all of the things that I tell you that have the glimmer of hope under them, all of those things really are long shots by every account. Long shots, people saying, well, don't count Trump out. He's the comeback kid. He has been hammered for 4 years and gotten a lot done and all that. And I just want you to know that's all true. But I got to tell you, when I look at my world in which I live, I haven't seen any repentance on a large scale across the nation. And I think the Lord maybe has said, you know what? I gave you 4 years. You didn't believe me then. I've been showing you the CIA and the FBI. I've been showing you the corruption, I've been showing you the deep state, I've been showing you. And yet the church is still not across the board getting the message overtly. I want you to know that as we come into this passage, we're looking at Daniel 7, and we do have a guide at this time. And hopefully I'll be able to bring to you a little illumination about that. And when we go away in a little while, we'll be encouraged for having spent this time together. The Bible says in verse 2, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. Now, when you read that, it sounds very ominous, and it is meant to. It is meant to because this is how things are seen from a heavenly perspective. And when you see the four winds striving, you might ask, well, what does that mean? As ominous as it is, the Bible does tell us a little something in Revelation that might illuminate this for us. So Revelation 7, verse 1 says, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, or on any tree. You say, well, how does that relate? Well, these four winds over the sea are really the motions of God in the midst of the nations. The sea is the nations, peoples, and tongues that worship the beast. We're told that in Revelation chapter 17. The Bible says, the waters which you saw where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And so when you're reading in verse 2 that these four winds are actually striving, this is from Daniel's time, and you're in Revelation and it says that the four winds are held silent and not to blow, that means everything is right now where it's been hammering to get to. And now those angels are going to let the world kind of unfold with the calamities that have to come upon it in the tribulation time. Now that's a lot to take in, and we've only done one little phrase, but I want you to know God is in control. The winds of the world right now are bustling. They're actually bustling really obviously because we're so close that the nations can taste what the end game is and that it is near. You think about that for a minute. The Bible says, "Behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea." And so we see that the nations are the great sea of peoples, nations, and so forth, and that there's this ramped up, chaotic kind of movement going on. And this is back like 500-600 years before Jesus. And we see in verse 3, "And four beasts came up from the sea." So again, we see that it's the nations, that it's striving over these winds, the movements of God. And there is a striving because man has free will, and the sovereignty and the providential moving hand of God is in the midst of the world. And He is, in fact, letting us know in this narrative, really, if you will, as you see it unfold, you'll see it more, that history is really His story. That His story is unfolding. And His story involves a lot of really bad, scary times for the people of God. We are in a foreign land. We are in a hostile world. We are in a time right now where it may get really ugly for you and me before Jesus comes. And I'll show you that as this unfolds. Verse 3 says, "And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from the other. The first was like a lion. The second was like a bear," in verse 5. "The third was like a leopard," in verse 6. And in verse 7, "The fourth was a beast dreadful and terrible." And I want you to know that when we look at these, I'm not going to drill into every verse because those are all studies in and of themselves. But just know this, that the lion represents Babylonian kingdom. Now when we see the first verse, it talks about Belshazzar, who is still the Babylonian king. And when we see him in his throne, Babylon is still standing. So when it talks about the lion, he's talking about the Babylonian kingdom. And it was a golden kingdom in Nebuchadnezzar's image, pictures, and so forth. But here the pictures become a little bit more hostile. That image was an innocuous image. It was an image with golden head and silver chest and arms, and the thighs were of bronze. And then there was iron mixed with clay and all of that in the image. It's innocuous. It's just standing there. This is not that. This is the character, if you will, of these nations. The one is like a lion. Lion is regal. The lion is powerful. And it's the king of the beasts, as we say. And it was the golden head of the image. So it was a very amazing kingdom Babylon was. It always was. It was called the glory of all kingdoms. But when we come to the second kingdom, it's a bear. And it's raised up on its side, one side. Three ribs are in its mouth. And it was told to arise and devour much flesh. And again, the picture is set forth before us that this is the one that's coming, and it will be the Medes and the Persians that are represented here. The reason we know that is because that's the one that does come next, and in hindsight we have a lot more light, but you had the Medes and the Persians. The one side was up higher than the other, and that's because it was Medes and Persians. The Medes were at first the dominant, but then the Persians kind of overcame it, and it became more of a power structure that was more known by the Persian emphasis in its midst. But they were a very violent kind of a people. And they didn't make an art of death, okay? They just went in and just slaughtered people. It's like, if you think of a bear is like a lumbering animal, and it's standing there, and it's all wonderful looking, but the moment it starts running at you, you know you're in trouble, okay? Because it's not going to stop with just, you know, getting you. But here we have a bear, and this was, if they're coming for you, it's not going to be pretty. And the Bible emphasizes that he has three ribs in his mouth. And I'm not going to go into all that, but to say that there are about three different theories of what that is. But it ultimately is kingdoms he's already conquered. And they're already in his mouth. And then now he's going to be a prominent figure. It is a worldwide empire that it's talking about. Just like Babylon was the empire of the world, the Medes and the Persians were the next empire that would unseat them and take their place for a season. Verse 6 says, "And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon its back four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given unto it." Now, the interesting thing about this leopard is that it has a couple of things going for it. If you notice in the lion had eagle's wings, and the wings were plucked off. And it really kind of is cataloging for us the fall of Nebuchadnezzar. He was really fast and powerful and regal, but he had the heart that was lifted up, and God had to humble him for 7 years. And after that, he was given the heart of a man, and he actually gives a testimony to his own salvation. I believe it's in chapter 4 of Daniel. But what we have in verse 6 is a leopard, because this kingdom is going to go fast. It not only has wings, but it has four wings, which means it's going to be super fast. And it also has four heads, and dominion was given unto it. This is speaking of Alexander the Great, who in fact was an amazing young man who conquered the entire world in breakneck speed. And ultimately, when he did that, he died at an early age with one sorrow on his heart primarily, and that was that there were no more worlds to conquer. That was one of his infamous statements. And ultimately, he felt like he just had done all he could do. And then he gave himself over to debauchery and excess and died in his early 30s. Think about that. The whole world was conquered by this young man. By the time of his early 30s, he just frittered away the rest of his life because he had nothing more to motivate him. And then it was broken into four different kingdoms. And you may have heard of some of these leaders of these kingdoms. The one was Cassander, one was Lysimachus, one was Ptolemy. You've heard of him. He was over Egypt area, and Seleucus. These are the four kings that were his generals that took different quarters of the kingdom and made them their own. And so there's a catalog. In retrospect, we can see it. And my point is this. These are three kingdoms. All of these three kingdoms are now well in the rearview mirror for you and me. And the Bible says in verse 7, "And this I saw in the night visions," as if it's completely a different vision. But it says, "In the night visions," and it says, "Behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, and it devoured, and it break in pieces, and it stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, we're going to drill into this a little bit more as we get into this, because when Daniel gets the interpretation, what he gets is mainly an interpretation of this beast only. Hence, what are we looking for? You see, all these other three, it's almost like God sets this aside to say, here, guys, you need to know about this last beast more than you need to know anything else. Because this is prophetic word. At the end of chapter 12, Daniel is told to seal the book because these are things for later. So he's actually writing to the likes of you and me. Why? Because we're looking at a beast that's going to rise up from the midst of the nations, and it's going to be a one-world government and a conqueror that will come up in the midst of all of that. Some of it you recognize perhaps from previous studies already, just having read the verse with all of its symbology that's sitting in there. Verse 8 says, "And I considered the horns." It said it had 10 horns, "and I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld," he says in verse 9, "till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and hair of his head was like pure wool, and his throne was like fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000s ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment seat was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. And as concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time." Now, these are all very cryptic pictures, especially when they were written. But today we've had so many studies on these things that we recognize a few earmarks in the midst of this passage. The first thing I want you to do, falling back to verse 7, is it talks about this beast being dreadful and terrible. Now, if you're feeling a little dread, then you know what he was feeling. Okay? This world in which we're living, if we get a president who is all in for socialism, all in for globalism, all in for green technology, you think toilet paper shortages were something? You're going to have shortages on your shelves.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily. as we go to the Word.